This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. This is Alan Ellis. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we're glad you're with us this morning. We hope you're semi-awake, and if not, we hope that you'll soon be that way. We appreciate your participation in this program. When you do call in and ask a question, we're more than glad to try and answer that question for you. And oftentimes I'll play, stump the host. Well, such is the case today. I need a little wake-up call. I need a little mental challenge today to get things rolling. So if you have a question, we're more than glad to try and answer it for you or bluff our way through it, whichever it might be. So that being said, let's take a look at the last week. Well, the biggest event of the week happened to be on Tuesday when members of the hunting community showed up in Annapolis. Well, a lot of people showed up in Annapolis. I don't know if you've ever been to a bill signing before, but it is a very, very interesting procedure. We arrived early. We were the first ones into the Capitol building. There were three of us that showed up just about at the same time. Nobody rode together, but we showed up about 8:30 in the morning and kind of went through the security line together and chatted among ourselves and got into the state house and state office building, state house, right there on Lawyers Mall, where the Capitol Dome is, the Capitol building, and you walk through security and ask your questions, where are they doing this and where are they doing that, and people will direct you to the second floor. There's a large lobby in the second floor with a set of steps off to the right-hand side. Well, the way it was set up for the bill signing, there were very few seats. You could stand, and that was probably the most reasonable thing to do, was stand up. But there were a couple of hundred people in that little marble hallway. On one end, there was a stage set up with a microphone. A couple of people there that were coordinating the calling out of the bills. So you got a loudspeaker, you got a PA system, ladies and gentlemen, today we're signing so many bills, and there were, 52 some pages of bills to be signed, four or five bills on each page. So the governor signed a couple hundred bills. I never did go back and take a look at how many bills he actually signed, but we were on page 9, and I thought, we'll be moving right along, but we'll be here an hour or whatever, maybe two, maybe three. We didn't know when they were going to call the bills, how they were going to call them, in order, not in order, Well, it turns out that the way they call the bills is the fellow on the microphone happened to be seated to our right. He was actually in the center of the hallway there, of the lobby. He would announce each bill. And as he announced each bill, you would look over on the marble steps that led up to the third floor, I guess, and there would be a person there holding up the bill number on a cardboard card. And as they called your bill, you would rise as a group, walk over to the steps, and follow that person with that card up the steps. And they would lead you to this little office room where the governor does his signing, and it is a crowded room. There's a gallery. There's people seated. There are people who are directing traffic. There's a big desk with the governor and the Speaker of the House and other other officials there, I guess other cabinet members. I don't know who these people were. But as you walk into the room, you're kind of in an aisle around the perimeter of the room, and you walk straight and then turn left and then turn left again. So it's kind of, you know, U-shaped scenario. And as you walk in, you'll see multitudes of television cameras and still photographers and that type of thing. And you follow this trail around, and as the bill is called, there's a young lady that takes the date is on one of those little office things, that, you know, like a nameplate, and there's a young lady there that's switching out the bill date. So, and the official photographer's there in the middle of the room, and it all moves rather quickly. So, you know, the people who are affiliated with the bill, associated with the bill, file in behind the governor. The young lady puts the placard in front of the governor with the bill number on it. I don't know if he's sergeant at arms, what he is. He kind of directs traffic, move over, you know, people have to get closer, come on, keep moving, blah, blah, blah. You know, like a traffic cop. And you get in, you crowd in behind the governor, and the governor's, you know, very, very, very little conversation. The governor signs your bill and hands the pen back to whoever happens to be standing behind him, and you get, you smile, you take your picture, and away you go. So, we, Bill Miles and I, our advocate in Annapolis, actually we had two bills in a row being signed. One was Senate Bill 68, which repealed the that evil Southern Maryland slaughter bill, I call it, that extended the antlerless deer season 7 days a week through the end of March of this year. We didn't actually introduce that bill. That bill was introduced by Senator Joan Carter Conway on behalf of the Horse Council, because they didn't like the Sunday hunting aspect of the bill. We didn't like the whole thing. You know, you're shooting does that are late-term pregnant, and you're shooting shedhead bucks. You know, so there's no point in that season at all, and it was, of course, detrimental to deer management in that region. So we testified on that bill. We added an amendment from the Maryland Hunting Coalition. We added an amendment to that bill, which would have made it emergency legislation, and said, "End it now! As soon as it passes, it's over." Had that ended, had it been voted on and passed during the session, it would have ended the season. But unfortunately, it didn't get passed till after the end of that March 29th deer season was over. So, but it is now law. The two counties have no longer have the that awful bill, that awful anti-deer management bill to deal with. So Bill and I got in line, and we got our pictures taken there, and then the rest of the folks with that bill, some of them, mostly Farm Bureau folks, local Farm Bureau people, filtered out, and our guys filtered in, and we had a couple of representatives from the Farm Bureau there. We had Stuart Barrell, the attorney from Kent County, who testified in the House and in the Senate committees on our behalf against in favor of Senate Bill 88, which was the repeal of strict liability. Sean Mann was there. Herschel Claggett was there. I don't want to leave anybody out. Judy Claggett was there. I'm sorry. Judy Barrell was there. And walked in behind the governor. The governor signed the bill. He handed the pen back to me. I immediately handed the pen to Sean Mann. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. We filtered out into the hall. We had a little conversation. We went down and got our picture taken on the steps of the Senate. We posted everything immediately to Facebook, of course. So Tuesday was that. Wednesday was getting the press release out. Thursday was getting the national recognition that we deserved, which was the Outdoor Wire, for those of you who subscribe to that. And the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation published an article concerning the repeal of strict liability on their website that the coalition had written for them. So, big week for waterfowlers in Maryland. Do they know it? I hope so. What does the strict liability repeal mean? Well, it simply means this. Let me read a little bit here from just a little bit from the article. On May 12th, a sportsman's milestone occurred in Maryland. Governor Larry Hogan signed into law Senate Bill 88, an act that repeals Maryland's strict liability doctrine pertinent to bird baiting, migratory bird baiting. The act was a signature initiative of the bipartisan Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Caucus, led by Senator John Astell. The active role of the Maryland Hunting Coalition was significant to the passage of this legislation, which it was. Here's the story. Maryland law, unlike federal law, and keep in mind that migratory birds, ducks, geese, doves, and other migratory birds, are regulated by the federal government because of their, you know, their migration across state lines and things like that. Maryland law, unlike federal law, does not require criminal intent as a condition of violating Maryland's migratory bird baiting law. The relevant provision of federal law reads as follows. It shall be unlawful for any person to take any migratory game bird by the aid of baiting or on or over baited areas if the person knows or reasonably should know that the area is baited. That's the federal statute. If a person knows or reasonably should know that the area is baited. Thus, under federal law, in addition to requiring the prosecution to prove that the person charged committed the prohibited act of hunting migratory birds by baiting over a baited area, the prosecution would have to prove criminal intent, either under a subjective standard that the person in the area is baited, or an objective standard that a reasonable person would have known that the area was baited. Clearly, federal law is fair and reasonable, while Maryland law is arbitrary and capricious. Simply, anyone hunting migratory birds in Maryland is at risk under current law of being charged by the Natural Resources Police for hunting over a baited field absent any proof of intent. Conversely, a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Enforcement officer would be required to prove intent via the Migratory Bird Treaty Reform Act of 1998. What does this mean? Quote, if you are charged, if you are hunting over a baited field, whether you know it or not, you are guilty. There is no defense. There is virtually no opportunity to present evidence in a case. It does not matter whether there is a little or a lot of bait, or if it served as an attraction to the migratory bird. It does not matter if you have a signed affidavit from the landowner asserting that the bait was not present. The document has no value in court. It does not matter if the bait is a mile away from the hunting site. That's the law that we as the Maryland Hunting Coalition, in conjunction with the Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Caucus, were able to get passed unanimously in the House and in the Senate, and now signed by the governor into law. The law goes into effect October 1. So the only part of that is what we have to worry about is the Natural Resources Police during the first month of the dove season, the mourning dove season. So after the first month, after October 1, the law goes into effect. So that's what we get done this week. Do we get any fishing done? No. Do we get any turkey hunting done? No. But a lot of people did, and if you were one of those, we'd love to hear from you. 410-922-6680, 410-WCBM-680, outside Baltimore, 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680. Love to hear from you. All right. Let's talk about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. It's a free year-round tournament hosted by the Maryland DNR Fisheries Service for everyone who fishes recreationally in Maryland. Eligible fish include all game fish from the Atlantic Ocean to the Chesapeake and all freshwater, all the way to Deep Creek Lake, including more than 67 species in five categories: freshwater, Chesapeake Bay, Atlantic Coast, catch and release, and even invasive species. There's also a youth division connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. You catch a fish of a notable specified size outlined in the rule book or online, and you receive your official angler award certificate. You get an invitation to the grand finale in September, where you could win a Tracker Marine boat package, fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network, Costa gear, tackle packages from Bass Pro Shop and Bill's Outdoor Center, and collectible heat gear T-shirts, and even a share of $25,000 in cash prizes. That's right. You can win some cash just by going fishing. Fish are biting. right now in Deep Creek Lake, are they ever? On the Potomac, on the Eastern Shore Ponds, in the bright western trout streams, under the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, in the deep Atlantic waters of Ocean City. It is not the time to stay indoors. Go fish! Official rules are online at dnr2.maryland.gov/fisheries. Go! Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, head to Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle, Pasadena. Hey, if you like gardening, and who doesn't, I always recommend Schillinger, Papa John's Farm in Severn, just off I-97. Now, Papa John's greenhouses are absolutely bursting with beautiful plants and flowers, annuals by the pack or the flat, perennials. That's right, perennials by the pot, bedding plants, planters, hanging baskets, pansies, impatiens, petunias, and many, many, many other whose names I cannot pronounce. They even carry the proven winner specialty plants. Now, Papa John's has all the vegetable plants, too, ready to plant in your home garden. I was visiting a friend last night, and his garden's all out, nice looking, everything's starting to come up, really looking nice. Hasty tomatoes, squash, onions, watermelon, cantaloupe, 10 varieties of hot peppers and herbs. Papa John's Farm is located just off I-97 at exit 12, 8029 New Cut Road in Severn, Maryland. You drive right to the greenhouse or stop and park and go and browse those big old farm wagons just covered up with plants and flowers. And you make your selection, or you can call 410-969-5909. Think about flowers and plants from Papa John's for your Papa John's Farm for your garden or for your church. 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every day. Visit Schillinger Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you. This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Spray on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hi, Baltimore. This is Mark Levin, and now you can hear 3 hours of my show every weeknight at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, a little B.B. King there. For those of you who are mourning the loss of B.B. this past week, let's talk to Chuck in Hampstead. Hey, Chuck, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you this morning?
Oh, not bad. I'm, you know, here I am talking on the radio, so we're good.
Yep. First thing I want to do is I want to thank you, congratulate you on a job well done, along with Bill down in Annapolis.
No, Bill did the heavy lifting, so, you know, we just kind of put the mechanism in place for him to do his thing. So,
and I'm excited about 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now. Oh, 2 weeks from now. That would be the inaugural Hunting Legacy Dinner and Benefit up in Westminster.
Yes, it would. And you got some great prizes.
Yeah, we're adding more every day, believe it or not. Believe it or not. Yesterday, a carver friend of mine, Warren Saunders, from over in Hurlock, called me. He had been in Africa when I initially contacted him a couple months ago, talked to him, and when I went to follow up, his wife had told me he's in Africa. He was on his first African hunt and did very well. Killed a 51-inch kudu, among other things, which is a tremendous trophy. So he was taking a nap when I called. So he called me back last night and wanted to know what was going on, and I shared a little bit with him. He donated a pair of hand-carved widgeon, a hen and a drake. This guy's pretty well known. Matter of fact, he's carved in the halls of Congress. He used to set up, for those of you familiar, a couple of years ago, he used to set up in Bass Pro Shops in the lobby and carve ducks while the customers were walking by and talk to the kids and the whole deal. So Warren's a friend. I've hunted with him, and Warren donated a nice pair of ducks to us. And it looks like we're putting together a seek-a-deer hunt, bow or rifle, but I can't tell you where, when, or how just yet, but we're working hard on that one. So that would be an additional great prize to win. So, but there are at least four goose hunts and two deer hunts and a stingray shoot and a snakehead shoot and a bunch of other stuff the folks can see on the Maryland Hunting Coalition website. So I know you're going to be there. And
if I'm going to be there, I've got a couple items that pique my interest. So,
oh, you got some items, do you?
items
with an S. Well, yep. The folks can see all that on the website. It's right there on the right hand side of the homepage. It says auction and raffle prizes or whatever it says. Just click on that. It's quite a laundry list, and it's not all of them. You know, it's not all of them. I mean, we've got deer processing, we've got archery supplies, we've got a winner take all. Turkey raffle, winner take all, waterfowl raffle, winner take all, deer raffle. We got all kinds of games and prizes and things like that. And, I mean, it's going to be a cool event. And people are going, where is this? Where is this? It's in Westminster on May 30th. It's noon to 4. it was the only date we could get because there's a wedding afterwards in the same room. And it's the only time frame we could get before the end of the month. So it's in Westminster, May 30th, noon to 4 on Saturday. And it's MarylandHuntingCoalition.org, MDHuntingCoalition.org on the website. Or you can call here on the radio show, email me, Ellis@EllisOutdoors, and I'll send you all the stuff. But, yeah, it's going to be a good time. We've got taxidermy and crossbows and really nice shotguns and rifles, all kinds of stuff. So there you go. Chuck, thanks for calling on that one.
Hey, you guys did a good job. So,
well, thank you. I'm sorry you weren't able to make the bill signing, but it was. I don't know if you do follow our Facebook page. I know that. So we put it all up there, and I hated to do what I did yesterday and kind of count down a little bit. I was just trying to motivate people to get in on the early bird before it ended, and it worked out fine. So we're good.
And then. Just ready to get out of the truck and head into the woods for some turkey. You know the family matter that I dealt with the last couple of weeks in the middle of the season.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So, went out yesterday, didn't see anything, and heading back out again this morning.
Well, you know, it's getting to the time where those birds are probably pretty much done breeding the hens, but the gobblers are still looking. They're still looking to breed some more hens. So you might just do well here this morning. Good luck to you.
I'll talk to you later. Like I said, time to get out of the truck.
Yep, I got you. Get out of the truck, and I do need to talk to you this weekend sometime.
You can call me this afternoon, starting this afternoon.
Beautiful. Thanks, Chuck. See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Bill in Dundalk. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Well, good morning, Mr. Allen.
How are you, Bill?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm good. What's up?
What do you think about this allergy in the bay and all the tributaries?
The what?
The allergy. I mean, the algae.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what to think about it. I mean, tell me what you're talking about.
Oh, there's a big write-up in the paper about it.
Mm.
So it's real bad. Don't go in the water. Don't get it on you.
I mean,
if you watch, if you get fish out of the, like the Potomac,
yeah.
Rappahannock and all, make sure you gut it and make sure you clean it when you get home before you eat it.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't particularly like raw fish. I mean, some sushi's good, but something out of the Potomac River, no. No. So. No, I didn't really read that. Quite frankly, Bill, I have very little time to read the local stuff. My business right now is in a state of transition. I'm trying to work through some things with the business and good things. I mean, good things are happening. There's nothing bad happening. This Maryland Hunting Coalition has overtaken my life for the most part. Coming up 2 weeks from our initial benefit, and you know, there's a lot of coordination to that. So you put together an event for a couple of hundred people. You got to be on top of things, and especially when you're dealing with a lot of items and, you know, logistics and that type of things. There's a lot of work to do, and I want to thank a lot of people, and I will thank them. You know, at the appropriate time. So,
hey, where's your radio station at?
It's in Pikesville.
Oh, okay, because I get pretty good reception.
Yeah, well, you should. It's 50,000 watt station.
Right.
Yeah, it's the biggest you can get.
Good. I just want to tell you, I got two mallard ducks that come in the yard and eat the bird seed up.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
Yeah. I feed the birds and all kind of birds come in the yard.
I bet they do. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Can you tell if they're male and female, or is it a pair of them? They got a nest somewhere or what?
No, it's two males. Two male mallards. They come in the yard. Because I imagine they're done made their age, right, already, right?
Yeah, they have. Mm-hmm.
Right, so the males take off, right, and go on their own way, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
Right,
yeah.
It's two of them. It looks like a juvenile male and then a grown male.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Coming in the yard.
Yeah. You know,
they just take all around.
What's that?
They just come in the yard and start eating.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you two things about ducks.
Okay.
Do you know that when you hear a duck's going by and you hear quack, 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 you know that's not the male, only the female makes that noise?
The female does?
When you're blowing a duck call,
yeah,
you're imitating a female duck.
Oh. And the male don't quack.
No, they kind of... You've heard them. If you watch them and listen to them in the yard, they're kind of going... like that.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but that's the female. Yeah, I'll tell you another thing about duck calls.
Go ahead.
They do not echo.
No.
How about that?
Well, that's interesting to know.
There you go. You learned something. You didn't even try to challenge me, and I rose to the challenge and answered questions that you didn't ask. That's how good I am.
Oh, I know you are.
All right, Bill. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate the call.
All right, sir. Bye.
See ya. Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-66. Hey, you want to play Stump the Host? Feel free. Ask me a question. You know, can God make a rock that's too big for him to lift? You know, those kind of questions. That's what I kind of like. Hey, you like seafood? NBS Seafood. 1223 Dorsey Road, Glen Burnie. Has plenty of live wild-caught Louisiana crawfish. Also from Louisiana, andouille sausage, gator tail meat, along with some live Louisiana crabs. Now, if you want to have a party next weekend, Memorial Day, and include some seafood, here's the way to go. Serve your guests gator tail or gator sausage. There's a few Maryland crabs starting to come in, mostly seaside stuff, but they're starting to come. Now, there are also white perch. If you like fish, if you like white perch, very reasonably priced at NBS Seafood. Jumbo Gulf shrimp, scallops, and other seafood items, you know, crab meat, things like that. They even have some nice steaks. Yeah, some nice New York strips. They have all the spice to make your seafood taste great. Now, that's NBS Seafood, 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie, right beside Jim Donny RV. You can call them first, 410-271-3202, 271-3202. They're open today, 10 to 7, tomorrow, noon to 5, Monday, 2 to 7, and then they're not open again until Thursday, but they're also open 2 to 7 on Thursday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, they're closed Tuesday and Wednesday. NBS will accept your Visa, your MasterCard, EBT, and yes, they'll take cash too. If you have any questions, give NBS Seafood a call, 410-271-3202 for NBS. That's no bull stuff, seafood. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800.
Hey, you know where Clyde's Sport Shop is, don't you?
Yeah, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. If you know, if you've been listening to this show in the last 27 years, you should know where Clyde's Sport Shop is. That's right. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. That's in Lansdowne. That's below 95 on the Beltway. You get off exit 9 and go to the left and go to, yeah, go to Hammonds Ferry Road, and they're back there on the right-hand side. Very nice place. A lot of stuff. Any type of fishing you would like to do, they can handle that. Trout fishing, they've got the trout baits. All the panfish stuff, all the little lures. If you need hooks or weights or swivels, they've got all that. Rod and reel repair. Any kind of fishing reel you need. Trolling, casting, spinning, you name it, they've got it. If you want to get fresh line spooled on your reel, which I need to do, yep, Clyde Sports Shop. What I'm trying to say is, if you like to fish or crab, you need to go to Clyde's because their prices are good, their service is good, their personality is good, and they want to help you, and they want to make sure you're successful. And I'll tell you what else they've got for fishermen. They've got a 24-hour fishing hotline, and that's at 410-247-3474. 247-FISH is the fishing hotline. They're open 7 days a week, all major credit cards. Not only do they sell every type of fishing tackle that you could need, want, or imagine, they are your headquarters for firearms, too, for hunting and home protection and shooting sports. It's Clyde's Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Clyde's Sports is the website, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras?
How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a battery warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the battery warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Start your day with Sean and Frank. Maryland's wake-up call. Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It's all set. They got the bug boy out.
The bug boy?
The little fella's been riding his heart out. They're gonna break his maiden.
Really?
But it's a little slow out there. Rain last night.
Oh, this baby loves the slop. Loves it. Eats it up.
Eats the slop. Born the slop. His father was a mutter.
His father was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
What did I just say?
A damn good dinner, crab cakes and rockfish too. We thanked the Lord and said the blessing, but what we forgot to do was to thank the man who by hand helped put food upon our plate. The man that dipped the crabs, hooked the fish and cut the bait. The man that works our rivers, he's our neighbor, he's our friend. His backbone and his smoke's the way he makes he's living. I'm talking about the man. Talking about the water man. I'm talking about the man trying to line the crabs, tonguing oysters and working the beef. Talking about the man who makes his living on the water every day. I'm talking about the man. Talking about the water man.
Oh, yeah. Got to have that water man, buddy. I'll tell you, we wouldn't eat seafood without him, that's for sure. We wouldn't eat crabs, not many fish. So hats off to the waterman here in Maryland, that's for sure. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Time for a phone call so that you can play Stump the Host, and we'll try to answer any difficult questions that you might have and might even add a few little things you don't know. So we're depending on you folks this hour and next to keep the show rolling here, because I don't have a lot of – I didn't have a lot of time to do a lot of show prep this week. I mean, I didn't have 15, 20 minutes that I could, you know, get the show ready to go. So, yeah, you ought to see the emails from me. I've got emails in the last 3 days from you name it. I did get an email from Sam Kaminsky out at My Core Control. They're coming out with a whole new line of jackets, and I bragged about this jacket when we did the Blazing Camo Day in Annapolis. The folks from My Core Control had sent me one of these heated jackets, and I charged it up and turned it on. And guess what? I was the warmest guy on the block. The way it works is there's a battery pack in the one breast pocket, and then there's a drone in the other breast pocket. And you charge the one in the right pocket and unplug it. And when you go out in the field, you have a little switch you can press on the jacket. And you can, you know, low, medium, or high, depending on how cold it is and how long you're going to stay out. Of course, you know, the higher the setting that you use, the less time you're going to be able to stay warm. But what it does, there's a wiring system, and it goes down to these plates that are on the inside of your wrist. And, I mean, you know, everything's flexible. You can bend your wrist and everything else. But these plates warm the blood going into and out of your hand on those big veins and arteries there. Okay, so as that blood heats up a few degrees, it keeps your hands warm, and then that blood circulates back through your body and keeps your entire core warm because you've got warmer blood circulating through your body. It's a pretty unique concept, and we've got one of those jackets on our table at the Maryland Hunting Coalition Dinner and Benefit. Let's talk to Jeff in Baltimore. Good morning, Jeff. How you doing?
All right. Yourself?
I'm hanging. What's going on? Yeah.
Great. Well, I just wanted to call and report some nice couple of nice days on the Gunpowder River, like in the Harford Road, Bel Air section over
sure.
the past week. So beautiful weather. You couldn't be anywhere and it was nice.
Right.
But I really enjoyed the scenery and saw a multitude of wildlife, some monster carp. I saw an eel.
Now, where was this again?
Down there on the Gunpowder River.
The carp. I know there's
Bel Air Road.
Yeah, there's lots of carp down there.
Yeah. Other creatures to be seen. Yeah. Beautifully kept trail along there was nice for the hike. I was up off of the Harford Road section and downstream from there. Some nice fishing. Even came up with a real beautiful, about 18, 20-inch trout that came up out of a crystalline pool and surprised me wonderfully.
Did you catch him?
Yeah, I got him.
Oh, good. Beautiful.
Yeah, well, he came missing out of this 3-foot little pool and out of the water, and I was able to hold on. I had an ultralight reel going on. So
isn't that fun?
Yeah, it was definitely a gift.
Yeah.
So I just want to report that. But I did also want to point out something that I had learned from Theo Legardeur from a river keeper.
Okay.
Up there, one of our northern Baltimore County fly shops,
mm-hmm.
owner, but also very very helpful in the. In conservation, so that's being a river keeper.
Right.
But Theo had a victory for everyone in halting a project that was putting some sort of a pipeline across the Baltimore into Harford County.
Right.
And through a lot of hard work and effort, largely on his part, he shared with me, he and everybody was able to get them to stop this pipeline and get some more study going and make sure they do it right if they ever do it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that should certainly be noted in all wildlife, outdoor conservation community locally.
Sure. I mean, sometimes, you know, we're all for pipelines, we're all for progress, we're all for becoming energy independent, but we don't want to do that at the expense of our wildlife, and especially if you know you've got a beautiful area like the Gunpowder up there that could be impacted in some way. That's right.
Yeah, there's an article and it was in the Baltimore Sun last week.
Yeah,
and that was relative to that. Yeah, I mean they started to build it, and sometimes amazingly, some people on private property didn't even know it was coming, and they're sitting there building and going right across the way. But luckily, unfortunately, it stopped. Lord knows, I know I have a small childhood depression when I heard that the Alaskan pipeline was going to be built back here in the late '60s, early '70s, I guess it was.
Yeah.
When I heard that was happening, I was a sad child.
Really? The Alaskan pipeline?
Hmm. Yeah, the Alaskan pipeline. I said, oh, no, they're going to ruin it. I don't know. I loved Alaska since I was a little kid.
Sure.
When
me
I
too.
Heard they were getting ready to build that, I was afraid they were going to ruin the last state in the world that was full of wilderness. There were accidents and issues there, but progress must go on. But I was pretty sad when they originally built that thing.
Well, you know, it is interesting. People do get excited about oil spills, like in the Gulf, which was horrendous. There's a lot about that oil spill that I think has been left unsaid as far as the response of our government at that point, the oil spill in Alaska, the Exxon Valdez, there were more oil spills than that in our environment during World War II. I mean, every ship that sank, there was a huge oil spill, and there were hundreds of them, I thank God that God has put into effect a way for our planet to heal itself.
Isn't that amazing? I was going to say, somehow or other, the good Lord and this world, this earth, absorbs these issues and problems that would seem to be disastrous forever, which, like you said, they are in a way, but some sort of a absorbing process that the good Lord and in place that we cannot even see, but it's happening.
Well, let me, you know, they talk about styrofoam. Oh, a styrofoam couple lasts 300 years in the environment, okay? Probably will. But I haven't seen a 20-year-old styrofoam cup outside anywhere. Have you, ever?
No.
Huh? How about a 10-year-old styrofoam cup? You ever seen one of those laying around anywhere?
Yeah.
I'm just, look, it all breaks down. I don't know, you know, if it gets into such a small breakdown that you can't see the elements of it or something like that, but...
It's all floating around in the ocean.
It is floating around the ocean. There's no question. It's all floating around in the oceans. But man has been horrible to his own oceans for years, not just here in the, you know, in the 21st century. So people are very, very short-sighted, very short-sighted. So.
But another miracle to me is, like, crabs. I mean, you figure one night on one table in one restaurant, multiply that out by all the tables in the one restaurant, all the restaurants that one night and for the whole summer. There must be a spot in the world. I've never found it where the crabs must be 10 feet thick under the bay, but I've never found them at all.
Yeah.
But somewhere, while we're sleeping, he must be multiplying those things by the millions, because every night, every summer, what the newspaper reports, there's crabs to be had from June till December.
Good point.
Yeah. And
you know, we get on DNR for reporting the numbers that they have, but you know, how do you manage a critter like that? How do you manage a bug that crawls along the bottom of the Chesapeake Bay? How do you manage the population of a fish that migrates in and out of this bay? How do you no matter what our best efforts are, it's all pretty much guesswork, and we have to err on the side of conservation. And that's what I like about our Maryland Department of Natural Resources. For the most part, they will err on the side of conservation. Unfortunately, with some of our game populations, our deer population in particular, other political influences impact the proper management of white-tailed deer. There's some poorly managed places, but it's private property, so it's difficult to do, you know, so... And, you know, that could open up another whole can of worms, which we're not going to do. But when Senate Bill 68 was signed this Tuesday, to me, yes, I was proud and happy of the victory for Senate Bill 88. But I was thinking of those hunters in southern Maryland that the guys that put out the food plots, that had their trail cameras and their investment, and, you know, they're watching a deer rise to maturity, you know, wait until the deer's 3.5, 4.5, 5.5 years old, watching it grow, finding sheds, investing a lot of time and effort into that deer. And then during this extended season, when the season's closed and everybody goes, well, maybe next year he'll be back, we don't know, you know, we'll keep the trail cameras going and all that, you find out that some 13-year-old kid shoots his 180-pound shedhead buck in the next field because he thought it was a doe, a deer that you've been managing for, you know, 3 or 4 years and invested time and blood, sweat, and tears into. And that's what I really didn't like about that extended antlerless season in southern Maryland, St. Mary's, and Charles County. So I think the hunters down there are pretty excited that bill's been repealed. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your efforts in the legal end of this thing and the working part.
I just hope that the message continues to spread about what the Hunting Coalition is doing. I hope that the hunters start to support us and understand what it takes to get it done. So. All right, man. Yeah, I appreciate the call, Jeff. Thank you, buddy.
Got it. Take care.
See you, man. Thank you. Bye-bye. Frank in Pasadena, how are you doing? Frank.
Hello, Alan.
How are you?
Long-time listener.
Gotcha.
My question is, what do you use as a tick repellent when you're in the woods?
What do I use? I use any spray on my clothing that contains permethrin.
Okay.
There are a couple of them out there. One is Sawyer's. That has a pretty good spray, but if it has permethrin in it, you don't put it on your skin, you put it on your clothing. You can use Repel, which is DEET, D-E-E-T. The higher the percentage of DEET, the better off you're going to be. You can actually treat your skin with that, your hands, your feet, your arms, and that type of thing. It smells very unpleasant, but I like Repel with that. It comes in a green container. But it, on the clothes, I spray my clothing down with Sawyers for the most part. And you spray them down ahead of time, you know, if you're going turkey hunting or something like that. Spray your pants down, spray your jacket down. Make sure that when you're in the field that your pants are either in your boots or you've got something tied around the bottom of your pants so the ticks can't crawl in there, crawl up your legs and lodge. And that's about all you can do other than watch where you're going. You know, and really that doesn't make any difference. Ticks will climb up onto the, a little higher than they are. They don't crawl along the ground, per se. They crawl up onto the, where they can latch onto an animal, or something like that. So,
yeah.
You know, it's, yeah. But anything with permethrin will repel and kill them.
Okay. Thank you, Alan.
All right. Where are you headed out turkey hunting, Frank?
It has to do with... maintenance yard work and
maintenance and yard work. Yes, I first of all, I'd never wear shorts. I would get myself some light colored work slacks and just dedicate those to the outdoors. Spray them down. You know, when you're done, hang them in the garage or shed or something like that, and get them, put them on when you back out. Because once you spray them down, you're going to be good for, you know, a couple of weeks. And if you wash them, you just spray them down again, let that stuff dry, and go from there. But, yeah, anything with permethrin, I think it's P-E-R-M-I-T-H-R-I-N, permethrin. I can't say it. But, there are a number of sprays out there that work very well.
Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure. Thanks, Frank.
Bye.
See you. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Look, here's what's going on with the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You can win prizes. No strings attached. It's simple. Just fish to win. 67 species of fish, across Maryland, all the way from Garrett County to Ocean City. You win cash and prizes for fishing. $25,000 guaranteed cash prizes, including $6,000 in each of three regions across Maryland, non-title, Chesapeake Bay title, and the Atlantic. Then there's a Master Angler Award. If you catch one award-sized fish in each region, you're automatically entered to win another $2,000 prize. Once you get an Angler Award, show up at the grand finale, it's $5,000 in random cash drawings at the Maryland Fishing Challenge finale event. You catch and keep invasive species of any size, you qualify for a special prize drawing. The announcement came out this week, and I'll find it, and I'll read it to you next hour. Snakehead fish have been found in two Eastern Shore ponds. So, get your angler award, get your invasive species award, invest in the youth, Maryland Fishing Challenge. Get out, stay safe. More next hour.